Is your business protected against the threat of malicious litigation and frivolous lawsuits? Bottled Business Sense provides practical business perspectives that uniquely emphasize legal strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. And whether you're trying to provide a startup business with some level of stability or an established business with foolproof asset and estate protection, Bill Bernard will expose potential pitfalls to ensure the security and growth of your business, free from unwanted expense and the threat of litigation. You'll learn how to implement protection tools equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Let's join Bill for today's Bottled Business Sense Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Bernard of WFP Legal Consulting, here with another Bottled Business Sense Show. A short and succinct show today, again, dealing with estates and estate administration and living trusts. As you know, the Bottled Business Sense Show can be found on many different social media sites. We're on LinkedIn, of course. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. And you can find us on Google+. You can locate us just about anywhere. Go to bottledbusinesssenseshow.com. You can also go to my website, wfblegalconsulting.com. And you can find a drop-down menu there where you can listen to the Bottled Business Sense Show as well. We, as you know, provide a show that is videoed and audio. That way people can listen to it by way of a download at their leisure if they just want to listen, if they want to watch it. They can also do that at their leisure or watch it live on blogtalkradio.com. And you can find Bottled Business Sense Show there. In audio only by just logging on to Blog Talk Radio and then punching in Bottle Business Sense Show. Today, as I said, we're going to talk about estate planning. That's going to be the focus topic. We're gonna pare that down a little bit and talk about a trustee's duty to account to trust beneficiaries. And this is a topic that I've always had a lot of questions about. And I thought maybe I'd give you just kind of a brief background as to what it's all about and maybe some of the exceptions to the duty of a trustee to account. We know the trustee runs the estate, runs the living trust that's prepared by the trustors or the creators of the trust. And because trusts are not filed or recorded, which of course gives you the benefit of privacy, because they're a contract that is not recorded with any government agency, the beneficiaries need some way to find out about what's going on in the trust under certain specific conditions. And so let's begin by saying that generally speaking, the trustee only has a duty to provide an annual accounting to each beneficiary to whom income or principal is required or authorized in the trustee's discretion to be currently distributed. So if you are a beneficiary of an estate, of a living trust, and you have income or principal of some type that's going to be distributed to you at some point in time, when the creator or creators of the trust pass, then that requires an accounting to you under certain conditions. Remember, the trust document has to be read and interpreted to determine who is entitled to these accountings. So it can be specifically set forth in the trust document. And then the trustee, of course, has a duty to carry out those specific requirements. Typically speaking, in an accounting, there are six separate specific areas that have to be provided in an accounting to these beneficiaries. So let's go through them. Here's the key items. One would be a statement of receipts. Two, a statement of any disbursements. Three, a statement of the assets in the trust. Four, any liabilities that the trust may have by way of the creators of the trust. Five, a statement of the trustee's compensation and a statement of the agents hired by the creators to administer the trust. And, of course, a statement that the recipient may petition the court for a review and that such petition must be filed within 3 years of the request. So All of these things must be provided by way of an accounting to the beneficiaries, of course, if you're entitled to an accounting by being a beneficiary who's entitled at some point in time to income or principal from the trust assets. The law requires, let me repeat that, the law requires that an accounting be done at least annually upon the termination of the trust or upon termination of the trustees, or a change in the trustees is a better way to put it. So the trust terminates or the trustees change, the beneficiaries are then entitled to an accounting at least annually. So remember, if you're a beneficiary entitled to income or principal in a living trust, you're entitled to an accounting, and you're certainly entitled to that accounting, one, if the trust terminates, that is, the creators pass, or if the trustees of the trust change. Then you would be entitled to at least an annual accounting for as long as it takes for the assets of the trust to be dispersed. Remember, however, here's some of the caveats. The law does not require an accounting to any beneficiary of a revocable trust for the period when the trust may be revoked. So anytime the creators of the trust are living and they can revoke that trust, the law doesn't specifically require an accounting to the beneficiaries, although the trust instrument itself may provide for that in some fashion. That's why that has to be looked at and reviewed by a lawyer. However, when a trustor, a creator of the trust, becomes mentally incompetent and a successor trustee takes over, in that case, the trust cannot be revoked because the mentally incompetent person can't revoke a trust at that point. He doesn't or she doesn't have the legal capacity to do so. So accordingly, an accounting must then be provided for. So remember, the trustor and the creator of the trust many, many times are also the trustees of the trust. They run their own trust. There may be a third-party trustee involved, a successor trustee, should something happen to the trustors or creators of the trust who are also acting as the original trustees, such as mental incompetence. At that point, a successor trustee steps in. What do you have there? You have a change in trustees, of course, and you have a period where the trust cannot be revoked because of the mental incompetence of the trustee or trustees. Therefore, the beneficiaries would be entitled to an accounting, and the beneficiaries would be what? Someone who is entitled to any income or principal by way of the trust disbursement upon the passing of the trustees. So while the trustees, original trustees, are incompetent, a successor trustee steps in. Now you have a change in trustees. You also have a period of time when the trust cannot be revoked where normally it could have been. And so the beneficiaries under those circumstances would be entitled to an accounting, either change in trustee or the trust becomes irrevocable by way of mental incompetence. Now, what happens if you have the first spouse? You have two creators, two trustors, who are then acting also as trustees. What happens if the first spouse dies or passes? Well, then you have a permanent irrevocable trust. An accounting is then required only for the permanent revocable portion. So the beneficiaries, typically the children or someone else, know what to keep watch about and what to keep an eye on, because that is eventually coming to them when the second trustor or creator passes. So remember, when you have two trustees and one passes, or excuse me, two creators who are acting as trustees as well, one passes, that portion becomes irrevocable, and so you're entitled to an accounting as a beneficiary. The other portion, because the second trustor or creator who's acting as a trustee is still living, that portion is not yet irrevocable. Okay? When both pass, now it is the entirety of the estate is irrevocable, right? And you would be entitled to an accounting as a beneficiary, someone who is entitled to either income and or principal from the trust assets. You need to make a written demand to the trustee for an accounting if you're not provided one. And if the accounting is not provided after 60 days as a beneficiary, you can file a probate court petition to get a court order requiring that an accounting occur. So that's very important. And now we're talking, of course, in a situation where you are entitled to an accounting because one trustor passes, one creator passes, and you didn't get it, or both have now passed and now you are entitled to an accounting as well because both portions of the trust from the two trustors are now irrevocable and you would be entitled to an accounting. You make a written demand for the accounting. If you don't get it, you have 60 days to file a petition seeking a court order to have an accounting prepared. Finally, there is a California Probate Code 16060, and that provides, I'm going to read it to you, a quote, so you'll understand it better. Trustees' general duty to report information to beneficiaries is what it's entitled. And it states that the trustee has a duty to keep the beneficiaries of the trust reasonably informed of the trust and its administration. So the law has been interpreted by courts to mean that the duty to provide information is independent of a duty to provide an accounting. So you are really entitled to general information about this trust if you are a beneficiary, someone again entitled to income and or principal by way of trust disbursements once the creators of the trust pass. You have a general duty by way of the law to understand what's going on. So it's kind of a catch-all. And maybe we can go back to an example here and talk about it a little bit. Where children are not entitled to receive anything from the trust until both parents have passed away, for example, the children would still want to know what the trust assets are and how they are invested. They could make a request to the trustee to understand what's in the trust since they are a beneficiary, since they are someone entitled to income and or principal from the trust assets when both of the creators, both of the trustors, pass. Remember again, trustors and creators are the same, but they can also act as trustees until a successor trustee steps in. The successor trustee might step in where one or both becomes incompetent, or where both pass, or where both decide that they want a third-party trustee to take over the administration of the trust rather than acting as the trustees themselves. It's a little bit complicated, I guess, but not really when you think about it. You're entitled as a beneficiary to an accounting where there's a change in trustees or where one or the entirety of the trust becomes irrevocable. One portion would become irrevocable if there's two trustors and one dies, that one portion would become irrevocable. Or where both trustors pass, then the entirety of the trust becomes irrevocable. And or where there's a change in trustees, either while the creators or trustors are still living, or after they pass, there's going to be obviously a successor trustee stepping in. Those two principal conditions, you're entitled to that accounting. And then the accounting must be provided at least annually from that point on. The law again provides, the probate code provides, that you need to be reasonably advised as to what's going on in the trust. It's kind of a catch-all, so you want to be able to inquire in that way if some of these other conditions that we just spoke about do not exist. The final thing I want to talk about when are you entitled to an actual copy of the trust? Excuse me. Well, a beneficiary or heir doesn't automatically get a copy of the trust. When a trustor or settlor, which is the same as a creator, so these are three things. The person or persons who create a trust can be called a settlor, a creator, or a trustor. Remember the OR on the end. That'll help you be more cognizant of it. But when a trustor, settlor, or creator dies, or there's a change in trustee, again, you ask in writing for a copy of the trust, and the trustee must provide a copy to and all of its amendments within 60 days. So again, you have that 60-day period. So it's similar to an accounting. You're entitled when there's a change in the beneficiaries, a change in the trustees, or when one or more of the trustors dies, creators, of the trust dies, then you would be entitled to a copy of the trust. You seek to have that done within 60 days. 60 days passes, then you can go to court and seek a petition to have the copy of the trust provided to you and also to have an accounting done. So these are important things that you need to remember. Typically, trustors are not always at the best at making their beneficiaries cognizant of what's going on. A lot of times they want to keep it secret so there's no dispute in the family or so there's no issues arising. But if you have keep a line of communication open to them, have a secure successor trustee in place in case something happens to the original trustors, or perhaps a third-party banking institution or even an attorney, that might lift some of the veil of maybe any suspicion of any nefarious activity that might be lurking in the background or potentially lurking in the background. You want to make sure that everything is on the up and up. As a beneficiary, you are entitled under these circumstances to both a copy of the trust and an annual accounting. So I hope that's been somewhat helpful. This will be published in a newsletter, so you'll be able to review it on the bottledbusinesssense.com website. Bottledbusinesssense.com would be the newsletter site. Bottledbusinesssenseshow.com would be a place where you can watch these videos and listen to the information that we have by way of the show. Again, folks, we'll see you next time. Remember, you can find us on social media. Just Google Bottle Business Sense Show and you'll find us very, very easily. Take care, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.